Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It is the Brad and Brit cast. We're glad you're with us here. I'm Brad, he's Brit, and we'll be with you for an hour or so here. We're live in the 1:30 hour on Thursday. The list.
Here it is.
Here it is. Biden fried chicken fiasco. Thanks, Alabama.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Supreme Court. Too old or too dangerous. And the BK Empire strikes back.
I'm not familiar with the Biden fried chicken controversy.
Okay, this is so stupid. It's so stupid. And I apologize for even allowing this to. Do you remember? And I have to actually have the date on this. January 18th, the headlines all over North Carolina. Actually, this went out across the country, too. They saw this. Biden grabs milkshake at cookout in Raleigh during North Carolina visit. For those of you who don't know, when I say cookout, capital C, capital O-U-T, it's actually a chain of drive-through places that's growing in the Southeast. They're, you know, buy hamburgers and they have 45 different kinds of milkshakes and that's their thing. Anyway, so Joe Biden was here, I guess it's still last month. We're still in February, right?
And he made a stop. For a few more hours. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. He was in North Carolina Thursday, January 11th. And then he came back a week later. And this is where he announced another $3 billion for high-speed internet access for rural communities in North Carolina. It's a big thing. If you live out in the sticks, you mm-hmm. have shitty internet service. It's just that simple. We're still, you know, this is like electricity in the United States in the 1920s and 30s. If you lived in rural America, you probably didn't have electricity until that flaming liberal socialist Franklin Roosevelt came along and changed everything. So this is kind of the same thing. And as you can tell, Joe Biden is getting the same kind of credit that FDR got, as you know. It's it's just stunning, isn't it?
It really is.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, that's why he was here. And after that, he went to a cookout with Governor Roy Cooper in Raleigh. And Biden got the vanilla milkshake with chocolate syrup. Roy Cooper got a milkshake with M&Ms. President also was holding a bag, but didn't say what he had ordered. But the White House deputy press secretary later tweeted out on X, formerly known as Twitter, that the president ordered a bacon cheeseburger and French fries. Okay, got it. Now, today, and Britt, you know, I get all over you when you base something on reacting to what someone else said, like Dan Le Batard on ESPN or something like that.
Right.
I'm gonna be worse than you, way worse than you've ever been. Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
He claims that on the other visit, Joe Biden delivered a fried chicken dinner to a black family and ate with them and says that that's a bad look. That's a racist thing. We all know about racial tropes, do we not? Racist tropes. You ever heard of that? When people sit there and try to use things to imitate something else of a racially insensitive nature. So black folks with a president and fried chicken ain't the greatest look. And he questioned Biden's decision to eat fried chicken at the age of 81. That's very problematic. And I know what you're thinking. You want to jump in there and go, well, yeah, he should eat Donald Trump's healthy diet. He'd look a lot better. He'd be in a lot better shape, right? Mm-hmm. What the hell are you doing eating fried chicken? Said Stephen Smith. You're 81. you know, 81, you're munching on fried chicken. You ain't been in the greatest health in a lot of people's eyes, you know, so eating some fried chicken ain't the greatest look. If you go back, and I tested this, okay, here's what I did. I tested this, and I Googled Biden, North Carolina, cookout, okay? Right. And all you get is the coverage that I first talked about. The Biden goes to cookout, gets a burger and fries with Roy Cooper, and they both get milkshakes.
So
why the fuck Stephen Smith, a month and a half later, is bringing up another visit that nobody cared about, and Biden was visiting a family that had had its student loan debt knocked out, and he was visiting them to show that part of them, and they had fried chicken, and that's the end of the world, because if black people are seen eating fried chicken brought over by a white person, that means the white person is a racist, and I guess they forgot the watermelon and the how to tap dance in Easy Lessons video, right?
I mean, if Joe Biden had a track record, let's say, of doing stuff for black people, I'm just going to pull something out of thin air, like being president when we had the lowest black unemployment rate ever. If something like that was possible, then maybe it would dispel or mitigate this falsehood, which isn't even accurate. There is no evidence that he brought fried chicken. It's been imagined and pulled out of thin air. Then maybe perhaps we would have something.
But even if he did, again, I didn't grow up in the South, Britt, but I've been here for 37 years now. Everybody eats fried chicken in the South. White people, black people, we all eat it. We all eat it, honest to God. And I think we're kind of past that whole thing. And for Stephen Smith to go there, and by the way, he then played the card of, oh, if Donald Trump ever brought fried chicken to dine with a black, by the way, Donald Trump never dines with real people. It's never happened.
Never happened.
Never. Not but, once. Now, he may buy pizza and throw out the pizza box to
but
people.
Donald Trump has done things like, oh, look at my African-American. Look at my African-American. Oh, these lights are so bright. I can only see the black people. See, if you do racist shit on the reg, and then you do something that's kind of questionable, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. And again, it's all imaginary because nobody brought fried chicken to anybody. There's no evidence that it ever happened.
But Britt, let's call this for what it is. Stephen A. Smith is a Sean Hannity suck up. He goes on his show a lot, and they pretend to have a back and forth, an honest back and forth, right? This is what Hannity does.
Right.
And if you ingratiate yourself enough to him, he'll keep playing this game with you, whether you're the governor of California or whether you're the biggest star on ESPN. And I submit to you that this story is right down the center lane, going to knock down all 10 pins with Sean Hannity when he wants to bring it up. And he will. He will.
Well, Stephen A. Smith is a very smart person. He knows that he has to appeal to a broad sense. So if he throws out a little bit of bloody chum over there to MAGA Nation, he can keep them not thinking that he's, a socialist or something like that. Meanwhile, this is what bothers me about him, and I'll compare him to this other guy, Charlemagne the God, by the way, also happens to be black. They happen to throw out these just little criticisms. They need to feel like they do. Little criticisms from time to time of, oh, Joe Biden, Charlemagne's, oh, Joe Biden hasn't done anything for black people. Joe Biden does this, Joe Biden does that, never realizing that the alternative over here is somebody who has been completely destructive to the black community. Donald Trump, just it's not even controversial. And I'm not saying that these two guys need to suck on, Joe Biden's ass or whatever, but they always have these little criticisms to kind of give themselves some sort of credibility or some sort of space and some sort of thing. Again, they're trying to appeal to people who are going to hate them anyway. But they just try to throw out these little nuggets to those folks, not realizing what is the alternative? What is like, oh, yeah, Donald By the way, Joe Biden, I'd like to point out again for the sake of the story, never brought fried chicken to anyone. That was completely made up by Stephen A. Smith. So we're all doing supposition of, well, if he would have done it, but the facts of the case are not even correct. And by the way, you know who I really blame on this? This is the influence of Christopher Mad Dog Russo on Stephen A. Smith. It's Christopher Mad Dog Russo who can rant about lint in his pocket for 20 minutes just to create some kind of fucking content. And now Stephen A. Smith goes, well, I've got to find something. Oh, my God, that light bulb's too bright. And he'll do 20 minutes on it. I think it's Russo's fault.
Wow. That's a new level of 6 degrees of guilt by association, but I like it.
Russo
like,
given
it has it, ha, it has no action. You can't prove it. There's no basis in fact, but I like it.
I can prove it as much as I can prove that Joe Biden took fried chicken to a family in North Carolina. There's as much proof of that as anything.
Well, there are some pictures of him eating fried chicken with this guy that he brought. You know, I think you're arguing some. It's true, but that's not the point. The point is there's nothing wrong with it, and it wasn't a thing. Until here it is 6 weeks later when it still really isn't a thing that anyone should be upset about unless you're trying to score points for the other team in this backhanded kind of reverse racism.
Yeah, I see. I see the black support for Joe Biden crumbling on the back of this, especially since Donald Trump has been, you know, now arrested, which he says makes him appeal to black people that much more. And he's got the very expensive shoes.
All right, Britt, I've got a comedy closer on this one. Are you ready? Ready? You know when this all started? With a Mr. Harry S. Truman, because he was the one that said a fried chicken in every pot.
Oh, no, that's not at all. He didn't say that, and it wasn't him anyway.
Okay. Next, thanks Alabama, or thanks Supreme Court, or thanks both of them.
Let's do thanks Alabama. I want to do thanks Alabama and slide into thanks Supreme Court.
Yeah. All right. So, this is kind of a politically, this is a delightful corner the Republicans have painted themselves into as their 50-year quest to control the courts of this country, to levy all kinds of crazy ass conservative, anti-democratic, anti-freedom, anti-personal freedom decisions like Dobbs at the Supreme Court level. And then at the Alabama Supreme Court level, the ruling last week that in vitro fertilization, bad idea because all embryos are people. Life begins at birth. No, it doesn't. It begins at conception. No, it begins, you know, when you swipe whatever the correct direction is to meet the other person, right? It just starts instantly. And the Republicans, they know the polling on this. A majority of Republicans support IVF, a heavy majority of Democrats do, and overall it's in the 70-80% support range. But here's the problem. I believe it was 120 Republicans last year voted the life begins at birth thing in the Congress, which went nowhere, but they're on record as saying that. Did I say life begins at birth? No, life begins at embryos are people too. They did that.
Correct.
It's called the Life at Conception Act. The Life at Conception Act. The terms human person and human being include each and every member of the species Homo sapiens at all stages of life, including at the moment of fertilization, cloning, or at the moment when an individual member of the human species comes into being. It didn't mention IVF then, but clearly, it by implication, it means that every embryo that's the result of IVF is sacred and cannot ever be disposed with, ever, ever, or someone is guilty of murder. Now they're caught because of this ruling. So they're coming out against it. The Democrats in Congress yesterday tried to get the Republicans publicly on record to support that everyone really does have a right to in vitro fertilization, that it is a real right. And the Republicans, of course, figured out how to squash the bill. It was brought forth by Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, who's had two children that way.
Tammy Duckworth is nothing less than a national treasure. She is a the true definition of what a hero is. Period, full stop. First senator in U.S. history, I believe, who gave birth while she was in office. Not on the floor or anything, but, you know, she was an elected official in the United States Senate. First senator ever, and the first senator they've ever had to make accommodations for breastfeeding in the United States Senate. After, by the way, after having her legs blown off at war. This is a badass woman, ladies and gentlemen.
So, how many people really use IVF? What's the deal on that? Here you go. Here you go. This is Pew Research Center. Pretty down the middle group of folks who do lots of research and surveys and the rest. And here you go. 42% of U.S. adults say they or someone they know have used these kinds of fertility treatments, IVF.
I know someone. I know someone. I was talking to them yesterday about this.
And this is what's even better, even more politically dynamite against the Republicans. Almost twice as many percentage-wise of white people versus black people have used this. So the core constituency of Republicans, okay, have used IVF. Or something to help them get pregnant. It's kind of a thing.
And you just cannot preserve every single egg.
To be on the wrong side of this is just.
Well, they're trying to run it against it. And this woman, which senator was it that blocked the thing? Cindy Hyde Smith of Mississippi.
Idiot from Mississippi. She's on that list of senators you've never heard the fuck who she is, right? Never heard her name. Don't even wouldn't know her from anybody. Go ahead.
There's a fair number of senators and people in the Republican Party who were professional politicos who were like, okay, we're out of the woods on this thing. We can go ahead and kind of insulate ourselves. We'll just pass this thing. And all of a sudden she fucks it up. And now I'm sure that several of them are really pissed at her because they almost got out of the way of their own ideology. But no, you guys have to own this shit. Dog, you caught the car. Now you got to do something with it.
Well, if you add this on to the election after election after election in state after state after state from Kansas to Ohio and elsewhere since Dobbs, where the overwhelming number of people voting that folks should have the right to access women's health care, i.e. abortions, if they choose to, without the government getting in the way in between the doctor and their patients, which, by the way, this could be the all-time getting in the way of the doctor and the patient by denying them IVF. Would you say that is true? Is it kind of easy?
I can't deny it. I can't even come back on that. That's exactly
right. There's nothing to come back on. No, so they're caught in this web of inconsistencies. And bullshit.
This is what Cindy Hyde Smith said when she was blocking this bill. She said, this is what Tammy Duckworth's bill would do. It would legalize human cloning. It would legalize commercial surrogacy, including for young girls without parental involvement. It would legalize gene-edited designer babies and lift the federal ban on the creation of three-parent embryos. The bill would not do any of that, but they deserve to wallow in their own filth in the Republican Party. They deserve to own this for fucking ever. They did this to themselves. And yes, independent voters and folks who do have are undecided and might vote for Joe Biden, they're looking at this and they're wondering, those who don't pay attention to politics, what kind of fucking freak show do you guys have going on in the Republican Party? And I'm glad it's out there for everybody to see and everybody to smell.
Are we to the point where we can say it's the IVF stupid?
they can't get out of it. Because I know that when this thing, the Supreme Court decision came down in Alabama, there were a lot of people within the Republican Party were like, thank God, we've been waiting for this day for years. We've once again protected the babies. And then there were other people in the Republican Party.
How long did that last?
About 4 seconds when they realized, oh shit, this could lose us elections. Plural. Up and down the ballot.
Yeah. So every one of these kinds of issues makes it more likely that Donald Trump would never, ever debate Joe Biden, don't you think? Because, well, naturally, Donald Trump wouldn't want to crush a mentally deficient man like Joe Biden publicly. He doesn't like to embarrass other people. But besides that generosity there, I believe that Donald Trump would have a lot of problems when these issues are brought up. And you see him trying to play both sides against the middle and pretend he had nothing to do with, say, the IVF decision in Alabama. That's what he would do. He would completely try to distance himself from that, when the fact of the matter is, it's the Dobbs decision, which is the result of three justices who should not be on the Supreme Court at all, paving the way with the Dobbs decision to go down the slippery slope, you know, the slippery slope that Samuel Alito said did not exist. And the decision about Dobbs and Roe versus Wade was only about that. It wasn't going to be about other issues. It wasn't going to be about interracial marriage, or it wasn't going to be about transsexual rights. It wasn't going to be about, nobody even thought of this at that time. I didn't see this on the list, in vitro fertilization. But congratulations, Alabama.
Yeah.
You really plucked one from the tree that we didn't know was there. Nice job. Nice work.
Well, they can always take it to whatever level. I mean, you know, masturbation could be next. We have no idea. We're gonna bust into 13-year-old boys' bedrooms and seize their Kleenex. I mean, it's all preposterous, but it all goes down that hill. And now people are finally saying, oh, shit, maybe we should have left that whole Roe v. Wade thing intact.
Nobody's saying. They're not thinking that, Britt. Believe me. Remember, we'd do it all over again.
We'd do it all over again.
No regrets.
Add that to the pile of shit that would happen in a second Donald Trump turn. If you think he did damage to the Supreme Court by getting those three idiots on there, how much more damage would he be able to do in a second term? Jesus Christ. I know the people that are on there that are somewhat moderate, and the folks that are on our side, they're in great health. They're not all that old. But, you know, car crashes happen. Plane crashes happen, Brad. You have no idea.
Thanks, Supreme Court. All right. You know what happened on Wednesday, much to the surprise of most rational observers. The Supreme Court decided to do Donald Trump's bidding, 100% lock, stock, barrel. Lock, stock, and bagels, lock, stock, and everything, by delaying the Jack Smith case in Washington, because we're just not sure whether Donald Trump has the right not just to shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, but to order the murder of political opponents, send in SEAL Team 6 to take out whoever he wants just because it advantages him politically. He is a king. He has almighty powers, and he is not subject to any, excuse the term, Al Gore, controlling legal authority. There is nothing. And the Supreme Court needs to rule on that made up, pulled out of his ass concept by Trump and his lawyers that was masterfully dissected, shot down, squashed, crushed at the district court level a few weeks ago. They should have never taken the case. They should have let it stand. The only reason that they're taking the case, of course, is because there are enough justices, and you know who they are, Thomas, Alito, some form of the big, the other three, because it only took four. It took four to decide to take the case. So Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett,
Neil Gorsuch,
or Neil Gorsuch. So that's three plus the other two. That's five. So they only needed four. And four of them said, okay, well, we need to weigh in. We need to ask the same questions and get the same answers. And more importantly, we need to delay this so that Donald Trump is not subject to going to trial before the election. All right. It's just, it's an outrage, and there's not much of a likelihood that the clock is going to now favor the American people. It's going to not favor justice. It's not going to favor transparency. And more importantly, Britt, and, you know, we've seen these folks speak on television. We've seen the polling. There are all those people in this country who say that if Donald Trump was actually convicted of criminal activity, that they might not be able to vote for him anymore, even if they're Republicans. They're waiting to see if he gets convicted. And I submit to you that our original thesis of the weight of all this stuff on him is crushing him and will crush him. And as bad an idea as this is by the Supreme Court to take this case in order to, I don't know, reduce their own credibility, they can't possibly rule opposite the district court and say that Donald Trump is a king and has unlimited immunity and is not subject to being prosecuted for crimes that he committed while he was president, that he actually could help and foster and get behind the overthrow of the United States government and stop the counting of electoral votes on January 6th, and then sit back and watch the United States Capitol practically burn to the ground and call for the murder of his own vice president. They're not going to reverse that, I don't think. I never can say anything with 100% certainty. But this is the court pretending to want to show that they're having it make them look like they're being fair by taking the case, right? Because they're going to probably rule against Trump. So they get to say, well, you know, we really weren't a suck-up group of judges who would do Trump's bidding. But that's bullshit.
No, you helped him. You helped him nonetheless.
The delay is the thing.
That's it.
The holding up of the trial is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They could have come to the same conclusion by not taking the case, and they're wasting everybody's time, and that's what this is all about. And whose time do they want to waste? The American people's time.
That's right.
Justice's time. Does this mean that Donald Trump's going to skate, that he's never going to be held accountable for this? I guess if he wins the election and knocks out all of these cases, yeah. But I think, this is my opinion only, that even though they won't say it, even though they won't come on camera and admit it, that this is all dripping through, and that, and this is just my supposition, you really don't need Donald Trump to actually be on trial to kind of decide whether the weight of the evidence shows that he was not a patriotic man as president when he tried to overturn the United States government and stop the free and fair election of Joe Biden and remain in power by any means necessary. You really shouldn't need a trial to do that. Mm. And by the way, remember, we also have that a group of people who say Donald Trump could be convicted of this. He could be convicted of shooting 50 people on Fifth Avenue live and in color from 25 different cameras, like in the Matrix. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd still vote for him.
It'd be like the Kyle Phillip. It'd be like the Kyle Filipowski thing from Saturday. You'd have like a million different angles on the thing, right?
Well, not that explicit. Not that explicit. Nothing is that explicit.
It's like the Zapruder film for Duke fans. It really is.
Right. So the answer is it sucks that the Supreme Court is doing this. It's shameful. It's disgraceful that I'd love to know. We're not going to find out which judges decided to take the case. I don't think they ever released that. But John Roberts couldn't get one of those other four to say no to this. And it's a stain on his record and the court's reputation forever that they are doing this solely for the benefit of Donald Trump. There is no other explanation for it. There is no other excuse for it.
Yeah. No, it's not good. Even when they're doing all the shenanigans with Fonnie Willis down in Atlanta, that's just a delay tactic, really. They're just trying to kick the can down the road.
That's another one. Obviously, that's the game plan everywhere, and they've got Judge Judy Junior down there in Florida running interference for him. So that's three trials that are. So right now, it's just the Stormy Daniels, Alvin Bragg, case in New York. We really shouldn't overlook the fact that Donald Trump pled poverty on Wednesday, saying that not only could he not pay the $450 million, he said, I got $100 million I can put down so that I can appeal. You want to take that? And Judge Engoron said, no. NFW.
No
fucking way.
That's not going to work for
me. Thank you. So now, and keep checking eBay, keep checking Craigslist. The Trump Tower itself on Fifth Avenue there, it could be up for sale at any time. It could be to raise money and get him out from underneath the crushing debt. So how a guy went from claiming he was worth $11 billion, remember, wasn't that the number he would say?
I think so. It was all fictitious.
He would tell Forbes magazine when they would say he's maybe worth $4 billion, he'd go, no, six, no, nine, 11, could be more, don't know.
It was all fictitious.
But it was all tied up in those great properties, those grade A golf courses and office buildings and hotels. Oh my God. What a typhoon he is. What a typhoon.
you want to do the BK Empire?
Sure. Sure. On the Brad and Britt cast on Wednesday, we spoke of the explosion against Wendy's for talking about surge pricing their food, making it more expensive during certain times of the day when they're crowded. And Burger King, this is just like radio, Brit, radio stations. When one station would do a contest or some kind of promotion, the other station always had to answer. Yeah. So Burger King is jumping in there and just saying, hey, free Whoppers for everybody through tomorrow.
Awesome.
Just free Whoppers.
I love that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. God bless him.
Right. So the president of Burger King, whose name is Tom Curtis, said, as the leader of this company, I will never support surge pricing or charging people more when they're hungry. When our guests come to us, it's our opportunity to give them our very best in service and value for their hard-earned money. At Burger King, you rule. That's Tom Curtis.
You rule. You rule has replaced Have It Your Way. That's their tagline in their commercials is "You Rule." It's which means basically the same thing.
As long as they can get that guy to keep singing their jingle, I'm all in. I can't get enough of that. I just can't get enough of that.
Ooh, the boy. Guy who can't really sing a carry a tune or does it because that's the whole gimmick. Well, yeah, it's great.
And it's so funny. Yeah.
What's the real hindrance with Burger King? Because I think Burger King's burgers are better than the other guys. It's those fries. They've never been able to get the fries right. To me, I mean, they've always had substandard fries to Wendy's and to McDonald's.
I think I don't know if their burgers are the best, but I agree with you on the fries.
I like their burgers better than the other two. I think Wendy's has better burgers than McDonald's. I think McDonald's is good. I think the others are better, and Wendy's has always had pretty decent fries, but they've tried to reformulate the fries at Burger King many, many times, including those Satis fries.
What was that? What were those?
Those were supposed to be like less fatty or less carbohydrate-y or something, and they were just, blah. You got to look it up because people just called them sad ass fries.
So diet fries, not a thing.
They tried.
Not a good idea.
We have not yet discussed the great Richard Lewis, who left us at the age of 76 yesterday. One of the all-time great comedians. I've seen a handful of some people that would consider some of the greatest comedians. I've seen Seinfeld a couple of times. I saw Don Rickles. I've seen several others. I saw Ron White a couple times. And to me, Richard Lewis was probably the funniest stand-up that I ever saw. I was trying to figure out when this was. And I think it was around March of 2010 that he was at the Tempe Improv. And I was in Arizona for one of my spring training trips. And he was just, it was so funny. There's a story that he told that I can't find anywhere about him getting crabs and having to go to the pharmacy and get the medicine to get rid of the crabs. Oh my God. Even 14 years later, I can remember how freaking funny this guy was. His book that he wrote many years ago was called The Other Great Depression. It's about him beating alcohol and drugs. Just Richard Lewis, an amazing comedian, Brad.
I notice you're leaving out the fact that he is a graduate of the Ohio State University.
And
probably the best comedian to ever graduate from the Ohio State.
I would say that's fair. I'll do a couple of stories here because I was just looking. He had a YouTube channel where he would sit down and talk to various people. And there's only six or seven, maybe a dozen videos of him talking to people like JB Smoove and maybe a couple of musicians and stuff. They go on a tour of his house from like 11 years ago. He had in his house in LA hundreds of photographs, rock and roll people, comedy people, old Hollywood posters. I don't know what the family's going to do with that, but some of that shit needs to be preserved because it's just amazing stuff. And it's people who have passed on and it's one of a kind stuff. It's him hanging out with Bill Clinton. You should go see the video. It's several, and he goes through a tour of all this shit. It's stuff that happened during his career. It's Ringo Starr. He and Ringo Starr apparently had a relationship. It's just amazing. Now, he was huge friends with David Brenner even before Richard became like a big time name in comedy. And in the early 70s, Brenner was, trying to help him out and get him started and stuff. And they're sitting at a deli in New York, and he says to Brenner, I'm killing myself. I'm working three jobs. I'm getting 2 hours of sleep a night. I just gotta do this full time. And Brenner goes, well, how much do you need how much do you need? And Richard goes, I don't know, $1,000. Brenner writes him a check for $1,000 on the spot, signs it, puts it in front of him, and goes, congratulations, you're a full-time stand-up comic. Amazing shit.
And then the check bounced. Huh, Kevin?
They would ask Brenner about it years later and go, did this really happen? Did you do that? And he goes, no, I gave him cash. I wouldn't carry checks around. That was Brenner's comment.
Again, his lifetime hate for the University of Michigan as an Ohio State graduate, you seem to want to overlook that. And I really think that
it's a blessing.
He used to put stuff on Twitter. All this anti-Michigan is great. It's just funny.
He was, it's great. You can go back if anybody cares to do this, like you and I do, like the nerdy shit that we do. You can go back and you can see the evolution of the guy who's wearing sports coats, ties, and blue shirts on Letterman in the early 80s. And then he evolves into the guy that wears all black. comes to the stage in purple haze and shit like that. And then he was just hysterical. And I'm glad that there was a new generation in the 21st century that was able to see him on Curb Your Enthusiasm and be introduced to him.
Well, I doubt that a new generation is watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, but okay, I'll give that to you.
Thanks for shooting that down. I really appreciate it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Let me correct it. I wish he would have died out, never done anything this century, and had no one know how good he was back in the 80s and 90s and the 70s.
I know, but he was 76 years old.
Yeah.
And you know what the youngsters like.
Oh, sure.
Nobody who
ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm said, "Hey, look, I've never heard of this guy. Let me look him up." That never has happened. So thank you for shooting that down.
A little bit touchy on that one. Woo.
Well, no, and I thought that was a really well-placed zinger on your part, I think. Lawmakers want to penalize companies for shrinkflation as consumers pay more for smaller packages. Are you up on this story?
No, I can't move on from destroying your world.
Senator Bob Casey, a Pennsylvania Democrat, introducing a bill yesterday called the Shrinkflation Prevention Act of 2024. The legislation, which is co-sponsored by 8 of the senators, would direct the FTC, that would be the Federal Trade Commission, to consider shrinkflation. As consumer advocates call the downsizing of products while prices remain the same or even go up, an unfair or deceptive act or practice, and to prohibit manufacturers from engaging in it. The bill would also authorize the FTC and state attorneys general to pursue civil actions against corporations for shrinkflations. Are we going to put teeth into the FTC here, Brad, and let them go after people who are charging you the same amount or more for less product?
Well, this is, I understand the idea, obviously, and nobody likes this, but this is another form of price controls. It's government price controls, because instead of just raising the price on a 16-ounce box of shredded wheat, they keep the price the same and make it, 14 ounces, right? So that's a price rise. And they could keep the box at 16 and just raise the price, but they shrink it and keep it at the same price. I'm not sure that that's going to pass muster without just being called out for what it is, which is actual price controls, deciding what the price is. In other words, at what point in time does something have to retain its price? Is it now? Is it from 6 months ago? Do we make the companies that shrinkflated something charge only 85% of the price to keep the price per unit the same? I mean, I understand. I hate it too. I mean, tubes of toothpaste, honest as shit. Small now. The what you thought was a full size tube of toothpaste is now 6.4 ounces. That's the one that used to be like a 12 ounce tube of toothpaste. They've been Colgate and Crest and they've been masterful with that.
Were good. They've been good at that for decades.
Yeah. That probably is what killed Richard Lewis.
I think well, the question is always going to be like, is this too much interference in the private?
Right.
In the,
I know. I understand.
And what would the penalties be? What would the FTC propose?
I don't know.
This is one of those things I would like to get Elizabeth Warren on. In the summertime, they have these summer leagues because it's the summertime. For college baseball players, once the season's over, and they come to your town and families put them up and they play baseball in your town. There's a new one opening up called the Old North State League. And there's a team in Danville, Virginia, not far from us. They just unveiled that they're going to be called the Dairy Daddies. Are you familiar with this? This is raising some hackles.
Oh boy.
You can't, if you're listening to this, the logo shows a very buff bull leaning on a bat, kind of looking askance, and he's wearing jeans with a DD, a double D belt buckle. The Danville Dairy Daddies coming to your town this summer, Brad?
Dairy Daddies.
Yeah.
Daddy, can I have some milk? Daddy. Daddy, what's that cream you're carrying around in your hand? Daddy.
Are we sexualizing cows?
God.
There he is.
It's like Paul Bunyan as a cow holding a baseball bat.
That's pretty funny. I can't. I hope that there's a mascot. I don't know if they have the budget, but the mascot getting your picture taken with it would be amazing.
Yeah. I could produce that stuff. Oh, Lord.
All right. That's all we got.
That hurts.
It's painful.
That hurts. The Richard Lewis Magical Misery Tour is the greatest name of a special I've ever heard of. Magical Misery Tour.
I'll say that part of Modern Life I like a lot is when, and it's kind of, I guess, stupid, but when somebody passes away, you can immediately go back and see hundreds of hours of whatever they produced, especially if it's a stand-up comedian or a musician or something. You can immediately go and go, oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Or, no, I never saw that. I do like that part of it.
Well, one thing about Lewis, no one is going to out-dark him ever. Going forward, you can't outdark him, right? It's not possible.
I think he called himself the Prince of Darkness for a time at some point.
But I mean, I wish I probably have the tape of the segment that I did with. He did a call in to me.
Oh yeah,
in probably 1988,
right?
1989, and he didn't know who I was from shit.
Right.
He just didn't. I know he didn't. So I think he spent the whole call just insulting the crap out of me, but Richard Lewis style. And it was
great. Was funny.
No. I wasn't going to take that from him.
Hey, funny boy.
And I know we went and saw him live at a theater in High Point. He was just fantastic. You think about, how long ago that was. I mean, we're talking almost 35 years ago. So he's now like a 41, 42 year old Richard Lewis. Now I'm depressed. Jesus God.